In a small town in Indiana, a young boy yearns for a very specific Christmas present. One which will lead him down a path of murder and mayhem. Alienated from his family and the world, his new gift only fuels his internal psychosis. From the twisted mind of Bob Clark comes a story of Christmas bloodshed, featuring scenes of home invasion by ravenous dogs, tongue-ripping pole torture, and gratuitous use of the word fudge. Coming this Christmas, it's Ralphie's Revenge.
Ho, ho, ho. Oh my God, I shot my eye out.
Don't shoot your eye out, kid.
Don't shoot your eye out.
Ho, ho, ho.
Shoot
your eye out.
NLD's Christmas Slaycation slays on, with day 10 just about wrapping this up. Covering 12 Christmas horror movies leading up to Christmas. I, as always, am Motor Speed Dreads. Of course, we got my partner in horror crime, Mr. SJ. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling in the holiday spirit.
Yeah, especially today. After that little, trailer type deal that we heard there in the beginning, man. Pretty excited to talk about this movie. You want to give us a little rundown? I know it came out in 1983. This movie, of course, A Christmas Story. 1983. How fucking old were you, SJ? Were you even born in 1983?
Not quite. Born in 84.
Close. Yeah, I was 11. So why don't you give us just a quick rundown? I'm sure everybody's seen this movie, is very familiar with it. It is a holiday tradition, I'm sure, in a lot of people's houses and around this time of year. So why don't you just give us maybe a quick rundown? The one Mr. Bob Clark. We also covered another movie that he was involved with, and this one much better.
Yes, this one is a little bit more of a seasoned director, I think, on this one. But as you said, man, everybody's seen this movie. They used to play it on TBS on a 24-hour loop.
Yeah, like Christmas Eve. When it normally Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. Yeah, all the way through Christmas Day, I think they would do it. But if you're not familiar with it, it's the story of a kid named Ralphie. I mean, this is all told through narration. This is a guy looking back on his past, and particularly his ninth Christmas, so when he was 9 years old. And it all revolves around the fact that he wants this Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas this year. And the whole story is just it's one of those good kid versus bullies type of movie.
Yeah.
And also just a family not drama. It's all played for comedy.
Right.
This is a fucking great movie. It's the most Christmassy goddamn thing that you'll ever see. And yeah, it was put out in 83, but it really does feel like, when you're watching it, that it's a movie from the 50s. That's one thing that always stuck with me about that mm-hmm. movie. This movie, it really does feel like it's a period piece, or not even a period piece, but it feels like it was actually shot in the 50s. So for them to be able to pull that off in 83 is pretty spectacular to me.
Oh yeah, oh, I agree. It most definitely has that late 40s, early 50s appeal to it. You know, one thing that I've always said about this film was, you know, you can there's two big lessons that come out of this movie. You touched on one of them, as you mentioned, you know, the good kid being bullied. You can defeat bullying one way by knuckle justice, which everybody I'm sure is familiar with that famous scene. Scott Farkas giving the holy living shit beat out of him.
Yes.
And also a gun, BB or real, is a good Christmas present. So those are the two things that I, you know, always took away from that movie.
And to be careful with your shooting instruments, because you know what? You might shoot your eye out.
You very well could.
It's a very big theme in this movie. And you know what? They say it so much. You'll shoot your eye out.
Yeah.
And then in the last scene, Ralphie almost shoots his eye out, which to me, I don't know, that always had some kind of I know they were trying to go for something there. Like it's a theme of be careful what you wish for, because Ralphie wanted this Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle.
Damn.
So bad, and he finally got it. He got what he wanted in life,
despite and everyone's warning that you may shoot your eye out.
And he got what he wanted, and it turned out to not be what he had in mind. It wasn't as good as he thought it was going to be, and everybody was right to take caution.
Right.
So I think this movie is kind of a cautionary tale to be careful what you wish for, because
yes,
a lot of times, especially when you're young, the things that you hope for and wish for don't oftentimes turn out to be exactly what you had in mind. So I didn't really get that when I was a kid watching this movie, because as we've touched on already, this movie is all over the place. It was fucking ubiquitous.
Yes.
Growing up, it was on TV for a 24-hour cycle. You know, this kind of story has been drilled into our heads. There's so many scenes. We could go all night talking about this movie, but, you know, I didn't get the bigger themes until I got older. And, you know, it is a story of it almost reminds me of The Sandlot or A Stand By Me.
Yeah. No, I get those, that. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Like, because of the narration, and it's an older man looking back on his past kind of thing. It has almost I don't know. By the end of the movie, it's almost a little bittersweet, because you get that nostalgic Christmas feeling from this movie, but you also get a little bit of a touch of sadness that Christmas really is for kids. And as you get older, it doesn't really mean as much anymore.
It doesn't hold the appeal as it did as a child, yeah. And that's one thing that this movie always really does for me, and that's kind of has a very strong nostalgic appeal to it, which I'm a sucker for nostalgia. Anything that can, whether it's an old commercial, whether it's a movie that I watched, such as this one, as a kid, probably close to the age that Ralphie was being portrayed as in the movie. So about 9-10 years old. Yeah, you know, I was 11 in '83. So, yeah, it always kind of took me back and put me back into that little Otis stage during this time of year, and I can literally feel that excitement that I had then, and certain pieces, you know, certain movies tend to do that. Sometimes songs, you know, you play songs, Christmas songs or whatever this time of year, and, you know, when else would you fucking play them? You're not going to play them in June, I guess. Unless your name is Harry.
You're right. You're deranged Santa Claus.
Right. But, you know, yeah, it, you know, little things like that, it take me back. So, you know, that's one of the, I think, the most valuable thing that this movie has and holds for me is that nostalgic, the place that it takes me to.
Right. And also, I think this movie is really good at kind of portraying how you view your parents and your younger siblings, maybe, and the kids in the town. Like, it's a good look back, because I think the whole thing with Ralphie's dad always being in the basement or the garage or whatever it was, working on something and just cussing up a storm down there. And, you know, it's always kind of like that with parents when you're a kid. You look at your parents as, yeah, providers and obviously loving parents, but there's always that, that weird dynamic between mom and dad. They don't always get along. And I think they really portrayed that in this movie very well. And also with the, you know, the weird sibling that you might have that, you know, eats like a pig from the plate, you know, and you're just sitting there at the table as the older brother, like, what the fuck is my family doing?
All I want's a fucking gun. I'm starting with you guys first.
I want my Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle.
Now.
That's all I want. And I want it now. And I don't want to wait until Christmas.
Now, you know, of course, you have the leg lamp.
Of course.
That is a very, you know, famous scene. You know, the famous line, fragile.
It's French.
It must be. No, Italian.
Italian.
Oh, it must be Italian. No, I think it says fragile. He's like, oh, yeah.
And, of course, the leg lamp reflects the dad's sexual desire towards a younger woman. Right? I mean, am I right about
that?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure you could look into that there, you know, like that, Dr. Phil. Thank you.
Well, what you need to do is look at that leg lamp. I think I just went a little bit Hank Hill there. But he's looking at this sexy leg lamp, and his wife hates it. You know, he's having a midlife crisis.
Ralphie's rubbing up the leg.
Oh, yeah.
He's all like massaging it, getting up near where the old snatcheroo would be.
Right.
I called it a snatcheroo.
Snatcheroo.
In a good, wholesome family flick like this, and I'm using words like that, bad, bad Otis.
Yeah, you're going to get cold this year.
I am. Speaking of getting things, let's hand out some Christmas balls. How many balls are you going to give this classic, SJ, A Christmas Story from 1983? Another in the NLD's Christmas Slaycation installment. Another Bob Clark masterpiece. How many balls is it getting?
I'm going to give it 4.9 Christmas balls. And you know, it loses that one percentage point there just because I've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
I'm taking that little percentage point away because, you know, I did have to sit through this movie for 24 hours every single year. I mean, it was always on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Every Christmas from about, I don't know, 10 years old on up until they stopped doing it. So it's almost a perfect Christmas flick. If you've never seen it, you have to check it out. If you have seen it, you've probably seen it 3,000 times. So
this year,
you know, not necessary to, yeah, this year alone, not necessary to go back and check it out. And if you have seen it a million times, but if you haven't for some reason, good Lord,
where the hell have you been?
Right. And go check it out because this is one of the definitive Christmas movies. Right there, shoulder to shoulder with It's a Wonderful Life and all the other Christmas classics.
Yeah, no, I agree.
4.9
balls. That's probably one of the highest ratings, I think, either in this or when we do regular movie reviews, is probably one of the highest scores. I'm going a straight 5 balls. This one gets them all for me. I can overlook. It's one of those movies again because of the strong nostalgic appeal. I can watch it over and over and really not get tired of it. Yeah, it is always, you know, seems to be always on in the background, especially Christmas Day. It's on some station on TV, on some station on cable. It's on. So, and that's usually what it stays on. That way we ain't got to, you know, fuck with whatever people want to watch or whatnot. Boom, it's just right there. And that's pretty much what it stays on all day. So yep. I can overlook that. It's getting five balls from Otis.
Otis going balls in on this
Going balls deep on this one, sir.
Well, good for you. I don't disagree with you, man. It really is worthy of five balls.
Yeah.
I just had to lowball it a little bit.
Okay.
See what I did there? Just lowball it.
Just lowballing it a little.
9 versus 5 for Otis.
Damn.
So yeah.
All right. So awesome. It's definitely one that is worth. I mean, if you're not, you know, sick of it, because it has been played quite a bit, it's definitely worth another watch. And I'm sure even without you planning on it, it'll probably be on in your houses this holiday season. Right. So day 11 and 12, winding it down, coming up soon. This is day 10, A Christmas Story, 1983. NLD's Christmas Slaycation comes to a halt for now, but we will be back.
Thank you for fucking listening to a fucking Christmas show. All of you dirty dreadheads, let somebody fucking know. All of the other podcasts, they can go and fuck right off. Otis and fucking SJ, the shit is really fucking boss. Plenty more good flicks to see. Yeah, we'll cover those. Murders, geeks, and lots of shrieks. And all of Santa's ho-ho-hos and freaks. Thank you for fucking listening. We think you all are really cool. We'd be nothing without you, 'cause horror fans fucking rule. Yeah, horror fans fucking rule. I said, horror fans fucking rule. Fuck yeah.